Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, I've been away for a couple of days with my family. It's in the country. My sister from Australia and her kids and her husband are here. And so I took a couple times off. So we've got some podcasts to record.
Yeah, man, we got to catch up. We're down by like 10 points in the third quarter. We got to get caught up.
Luckily, we're both great at chucking.
Just throwing it up there.
It's either going to get a lot worse or a lot better.
Volume is what we do.
So we're doing three different episodes. They're all quick. So you're currently listening to the Boston Celtics episode, which, I mean, they've really retooled. They're ready to make a run at the title, with the title being, of course, Andrew Wiggins or Jabari Parker or I don't know who some other young teenager who's ready to take over the NBA.
The Celtics don't rebuild, Zach. They reload.
Oh,
and
they've reloaded
with Gerald Wallace and Chris Humphreys.
They don't. Yeah, that's right. They reload. Unfortunately, they emptied the clip. So that's a lot of reloading to do.
I want to do real quick this exercise. Let's name players until we get to what rank Chris Humphreys is in talent. So.
Oh, so we're gonna do on the Celtics or in the NBA?
On the Celtics.
Okay, because we were gonna do the NBA. I didn't know you wanted to do a 4-hour podcast.
So, Rondo.
Yes.
Jeff Green.
Yes.
Gerald Wallace.
Correct.
Avery Bradley.
Yes. I hesitated.
Brandon Bass.
I can't believe I hesitated there. All right. I'll give you Avery Bradley for sure. Just he is probably more talented. I mean, it's we're getting into an issue of size and need here, but... Brandon Bass is where I'm going to disagree.
Okay, so that's all right. We'll come back to that.
Okay,
Brandon. So we're still at four.
Yeah.
Jared Sullinger.
In theory, sure.
Okay, so that's five. Jordan Crawford, probably not.
As much as I wish.
Trying to think, who else? Marshawn Brooks.
Is he though?
Probably not, right?
Yeah, nah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Courtney Lee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, in theory, he should be.
Okay, so that's six. So that means that Chris Humphreys is their seventh best player.
That's not bad.
That's okay. That's not as bad as I thought it would be, because there was a time when I was like, is he their fourth best player? He might be their fourth best. And then I started remembering they still have people left.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing is that in a vacuum, like, these guys are better than him, right?
Yeah.
But... on the actual court, like, when they don't have Kevin Garnett, when they don't have Rajon Rondo to start the season, when they don't have Paul Pierce, we'll see just how actually talented they are.
They're more talented, but he will produce more.
Yes.
That's how I would put it. Like, there's naked production, and that's what, without going into any sort of jokes, that's what Chris Humphreys can do, is he provides naked production. So I wrote this thing on Rondo the other day along with the Celtics offseason review.
Yes.
And I think in the process of writing that, I think I figured out what they're going to be.
Hilarious.
Well, yes. But they're going to be one of those teams that looks terrible, and then their fans talk themselves into it, and they have a great November, or at least an okay November, and they're like, see? And then they fall apart.
Oh, so maybe – almost like Orlando last year, maybe?
Yeah.
Because there was like some talk about Orlando last year, like, hey, we might not be tanking. We could be pretty good. Like, we still have veterans. And they have veterans.
And then like the second week of the season started. But yes.
Right.
But my actual comparison in the piece was the 2010-2011 Cavaliers.
Okay.
Because if you remember,
they started out pretty decently.
Yeah, and they wound up, they were like two games under 500 going into December. And it was, who needs LeBron? And then it was, the Cavaliers need LeBron.
Well, I think, I mean, they were pretty good, and then LeBron James came in, beat them, and then they fell apart. Now, that might have just been coincidental.
Right.
But it did seem like he kind of, he just came back to, like, you know, do stuff to the corpse.
He's such a bad reporter.
He is. I have a question for you. When the Nets and the Celtics play, and allegedly, in a way, you know, KG and Paul Pierce and Jason Terry will come back to do stuff to the corpse, in theory. Like, that's the plan. How does Jason Terry work that in? Because he is, in himself, a corpse at this point. Is there corpse-on-corpse stuff doing? Is that allowed?
Are you asking me whether a corpse can be charged with necrophilia?
Yes. I don't know how that works.
This is like that movie that came out this summer with the zombie boyfriend. That's what this is about. Like,
wait, do you mean the Devin Sawa hit Idle Hands? That was like 96.
Oh, I love that movie, though. That's much better. That's just about the hand being
evil. Yeah, just the hand's evil.
I think Terry hits like 1-3 and then does the jet motion.
Yeah, they're up 20.
And then the Celtics crowd gives them a standing ovation and chants, "Let's go Celtics," and everyone feels really wonderful about their history. I'm a jackass. Let's say Rondo. Let's say Rondo is not better, but as good as he has ever been, which is unlikely given the talent he's working with and his injury.
Sure.
Let's say Gerald Wallace springs back to life like Uma Thurman when she gets hit with the needle in Pulp Fiction, okay?
Okay.
And let's say Jaren Sollinger improves, Jeff Green takes a step forward, and Courtney Lee looks like a good NBA player again.
Okay. Which he should. I mean, he used to be good.
Is that enough for 35?
No. I don't think there is enough. I don't think there's enough defense, you know?
Mm.
I don't think there's enough defense. I don't think there's enough scoring consistently. And, God, if you're the Celtics, do you want 35 wins? I mean, I know they've reloaded.
I don't think – that's kind of the weird thing is I don't think – I don't really know what Danny wants because
– if you're a Celtics fan, what do you want? Maybe do you want – I mean, here's what I would think. Like, if this situation were reversed, let's say the Celtics were the Timberwolves. I'm a fan of this team. Exact same roster construction history. I think my goal would be I want Rondo to come back. I want him to be healthy 100%. And then I want him to just like put up insane numbers, but for them to lose, like competitively lose. Like, isn't that what you want?
I think if you're a Celtics fan, because based off of your history, I think what you want is you want the 2003 Celtics.
Okay.
You want Rondo to be Paul Pierce, Jeff Green to be Antoine Walker. We're in a weird alternate universe here.
Oh, my God. I just got all tingly.
All of a sudden, you like Jeff Green again. and you want to make a run that, like, the unlikely underdog run with that kind of a team. That's what you want to do. They won 44 games that year.
Yeah.
You want to be the underdog team that makes a run. That's what you're going to –
God, why though? What good does that do? Like, I just feel like you should be setting yourself up for the future.
See, now I'm talking myself into this because Courtney Lee's Tony Delk.
Oh God,
I'm serious. You remember Eric Williams?
Oh yeah,
Jared Sollinger.
Oh my God,
I'm doing this.
I just, ugh. Like,
wait. J.R. Bremer, Avery Bradley.
Oh, now that's just rude to Avery Bradley.
Wait, Vin Baker's Brandon Bass.
that actually fits quite a bit.
I've got this figured out, man. I got this sold.
Does that make Gerald Wallace Walter McCarty?
I think yeah.
Instead of I love Walter, you know, Tommy Heinsohn could just scream I love Wallace.
It's like the exact same thing. And then Chris Humphreys is either Mark Blunt or Tony Batty.
Sure. I mean, Kedrick Brown is Dante Green. Kedrick Brown might actually be Dante Green now that I think about it. I don't know that I've ever seen them in the same place before.
He's just wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I'm on board with this now. Now this is what I want to happen.
Oh, man. If they had kept Fab Mello, he'd definitely be Mikey Moore.
Oh, he would definitely be Mikey Moore.
I'm sure Mikey. Yeah. I'm sure Mikey Moore. The only Mikey Moore story I ever remember is that Philip Barnett from Four in Blue and Gold once told me that his friend saw Mikey Moore dancing at a gas station in New Jersey, which I have no way to confirm or deny this story, but I'm going to completely confirm it.
So going back into not this.
I think that's so. This is like, here's what this is. This is a guy accidentally stepping on your shoes, and you deciding, I need to make something of this situation. Like I need to make him apologize. I need to punch him. Like I need to puff up my chest. Like this is what I need to do. Like I feel like if the Celtics go into this season, like or Celtics fans go into this season hoping they make the playoffs, all that is you making something of someone accidentally stepping on your shoe.
Yeah.
Like it's just such a needless, like, not even confidence builder. It's just like this fake, like, yeah, we don't need them. We're us. We can be tough. And it's like, no, you need to lose. Like, you need to lose. I know that's not in the tradition of the Celtics, except, you know, when they tried to tank for Tim Duncan back in 1997, and they tried to tank for Greg Oden or Kevin Durant in 2007. But, like, that's what they need to do. Like, you need to tank. You need to get that next star. Like, even if you made the playoffs out as an 8th seed next season, like, everything comes together. You win 38 games. You're the 8th seed, and let's say you challenge the Heat in the first round. Like, you don't beat them, but you challenge them. You can feel good about that, but for the future of the franchise, it's just so stupid.
Let's say it's February 1st, and they've won 20 games. Okay?
Okay.
They've won 20 games. So then 3 months, they've won 20 games.
All right.
Rondo and Stevens have not gotten along. It hasn't been bad, but there have been a few blow-ups, and Rondo is averaging 16-11-7.
Okay.
Do you trade Rondo?
No. I think if you're trading Rondo, which I'm not against. I mean, I love Rondo. I think it's crazy when he was healthy, when people said, like, oh, he's not even in the conversation for top 5 point guard. There were people that said that. I think that's nuts. Like, I think I am on board with the Rondo train, even though he can't hit free throws and doesn't hit 3-pointers. But with him, I would only trade him on draft night. Like, if you can do a situation like a Drew Holiday trade, I think you do that. Otherwise, I would keep him on board.
It's an interesting question. What if there's a big – this is like a really convoluted scenario, but go with
it. Oh, this ought to be good.
So let's say the Celtics manage to get the number one, okay?
Okay.
And – let's say that there's a team that finishes with – they finish like 17th, and so they wind up in a high lottery spot, but they miraculously land the two. Let's say, for instance, that's a team that with an expiring point guard, an expiring power forward, and plays in Los Angeles, hypothetically.
Sure. If only we could think of such a team, but okay.
And they're willing to send the number two pick for Rajon Rondo. And so you could get Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins. That's like the dream scenario, right?
Right.
And then the Lakers – oh, that's the team, by the way.
Oh.
The Lakers sign
– oh, spoiler alert.
The Lakers sign – the Lakers trade for Rondo, re-sign Kobe, and then sign Melo, LeBron, whoever.
Okay.
And then you fill out the rest of the roster.
Sure.
So point guard Kobe, big star, and then you're set. I've got the would the Lakers want to do that?
Here's the thing. I don't know if you've ever come across these two fan bases before in your internet writings. We don't trade with them. We would never trade with our rivals from 20 years ago.
Despite the fact that Ken Berger, CBSSports.com reported at the trade deadline that the Lakers and Celtics had conversations about Rondo.
Right. Let's just pretend there aren't rules in the CBA preventing these two particular teams from trading with each other. I think you have to. I mean, especially like if you're the Celtics, for the Lakers, like everyone thinks like, oh, amnesty Kobe, rebuild, blah blah blah, you know, or don't bring Kobe back, rebuild. Like that's what you need to do. I don't know that sells with them. I think the Celtics fans, they probably want to put up a fight because that's just kind of like the. Seems like to be the mentality of the fan base, but they can handle a terrible season in the hopes of a draft pick. Like they've done it before, they've been fine. Like I think for the Lakers, it's just always so much more important to always have a star.
Yeah,
and so I think that move actually completely benefits both teams because Is Rondo a superstar? Eh, not really. He's a star. Like, he, I wouldn't say he's one of the 10 or 15 most, like, marketable players in the NBA, but he's up there. Like, he's, I think he's close. But, you know, he bounces back to health. You put him in LA. Like, I think that works. And for the Celtics, if you can move Rondo for the second pick in the draft, or a, even a top five pick in the draft, like a guaranteed top five pick in the draft, I think you have to do that. But
so we managed to talk about the Lakers on a Celtics podcast after we made fun of the Celtics. So basically, we're going to, you know, check your mail.
oh, I've already deleted my internet.
But I think it's an interesting question of what they're going to do. I hope that they move Gerald Wallace. I hope that they move Brandon Bass.
You know, I even think Chris Humphreys is a very movable contract that a contender could use.
I'm like this with the Sixers too, in that I on these rebuilding teams, like, I think it's fine if you want to rebuild, but if I were a GM, like, I really would seriously just, I would trade all of my veterans for absolutely nothing and bring in D-League guys on 1 year contracts to fill the salary floor and then be done. That's what I would do. And you don't even really have to do the salary floor, like, just in sort of so the league doesn't get mad at you, be like, no, I'm just trying out some young talent.
Well, even the salary floor, like, what is it? You don't hit it, then you just divide the money up to the players under contract on your team, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's, like, fine.
Like, if Thaddeus Young doesn't get traded, and I am openly lobbying in the Sixers review, which we'll talk about in another podcast, I openly asked for them to trade Thaddeus Young to get him. I want someone to, quote, save him.
Yes.
But let's say that he's just, like, sitting out, like, he's tanking out or whatever. Like, this Sixers team that's going to be left, I'm looking at this Sixers team that's going to be left, and I'm looking at, like, the D-League Toros. I'm like, the Toros might be able to give them a run.
Oh, man.
Like, it might be a five-point game in the fourth quarter, and then they'll destroy him. I'm okay with that because of the talent differential. And I'm not trying to go down, like, a Kentucky Bobcats thing here. I'm just simply saying, like, if I were constructing a team, I would very openly want them to be as bad as possible and have absolutely – I would not be – there would be none of this, like, oh, no, he brings a lot to our locker room. Nope, you bring something to our locker room, you're gone. You have any value whatsoever, you're gone.
Well, this is what I was hoping for with the Bobcats 2 years ago and with the Timberwolves last year. Bobcats 2 years ago, I was hoping they would have the worst record or worst winning percentage in NBA history, because I feel like if you're going to be bad, you might as well be historic with it, right? Because then if you rebuild yourself and become a playoff contender, you say, look, we can be the worst team in history and bring our way back up. Like, that's what we're capable of doing. And so I think, like, yeah, why not? Why not be the worst team in history? With the Timberwolves last year, they had the chance to be by far the worst three-point shooting team when you factor in volume in NBA history. And I'm like, yeah, go for it. And at a certain point, they broke me. And I just thought, let's just do it. Like, let's go for history here and be as bad as possible. And so I'm kind of with you. Like, I think if you're the Celtics, you know, maybe you don't need to move. Like, you don't need to move Rondo. I would rather move him at the trade deadline if you're going to do it, or at the draft night if you're going to do it, because I think that's when you can maximize value the most. Sort of like how Philadelphia did it with Drew Holiday. I feel like they maximized their value there. And then, like, send away Chris Humphreys, send away Gerald Wallace, send away Brandon Bass, send away Courtney Lee, like, and just, you know, I guess you just say you're really sorry to Avery Bradley and Jeff Green, and so, or, you know what, even get rid of Jeff Green if you can. You know, that's such a, it's still a big contract. Like, whether he ends up justifying the contract or not, he was on that team to complement two players that already left and play for a coach that is gone now, which we didn't even mention yet. Like, this is what, I mean, Jeff Green's not on this team to be where they are now, I don't feel like. I mean, whether you think he was supposed to bridge that next era, like, I don't see the point.
You know, there's going to be a point this season where Rondo's either actually hurt or sitting out because they're tanking, and Jeff Green's going to be their best player, and he's going to score, like, 35 points on one of those random nights.
Yeah.
He's going to beat a team, and it's going to be like the episode of West Wing that's based off of the election in Missouri where the dead guy beats the other candidate. That's what it's going to be like. You got beat by a dead guy. It's going to, you know, like, it's going to be rough. But who do you, in your mind, is the most promising young player for the Celtics under the age of I have to see it. How old is Jeff Green? Let me remind myself how old Jeff Green is.
Jeff Green's got to be like 25 by now, right?
He's 26. He's about to turn 27.
Yo.
He's 352 days.
He's 352 days.
I always look at the Basketball Reference. I'm like, oh, he's 352 days. Like, I'm like doing it in my head, the 365. So
I got. Yeah. I mean, the best young player has to be Avery Bradley, right?
Yeah.
How old is he? 23? 22?
He is 22 and a half. He is 262 days. So, yeah, he's 22, going to be 23 this season.
Oh, he's 262 days. It's got to be Avery Bradley, just because, like, do you believe in Kelly Olynyk, who they drafted?
No.
Right, he's a duck in traffic, right?
I don't understand why everyone's talking to him. Like, this is why I'm... It's sad, because I like Summer League, but I've had to become, because it's gotten popular, I've had to become the guy that's like, well, come on. And we're going to talk about this more at the Sixers podcast, because we got some Roden to talk about. But, yeah, I would agree that Avery Bradley's the best young player that they have.
It's got,
you know, Solinger's got the back injury.
And, yeah, like, you just don't know what's going to happen with Solinger. Jeff Green's apparently 26 years old in 300 days or whatever.
Are they going to be able to be good enough defensively for Bradley to get another, I don't know if he made it last year, but is he going to be good enough to make an all-defensive team notation?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I just don't see why they would be.
He was all-defensive team this year, by the way. He was second. He was second team all-defense.
He's a good young defender. I just like watching guys like him.
He's a very good young defender. I spend so much time focusing on the – he's an attack dog. Like, he's like Tony Allen. Like, you point him at a car and say, go get it.
Right. Yeah. Just say, sick 'em, boy. It is fun watching guys like that who just, like, it's like the idea of, like, pinning back their ears and just going after it. Like, it's just, it's fun to see guys who revel in making the offensive player's job hell.
Yeah. It's almost like only defensively, it's kind of like, I guess you can even make, I was going to say wide receiver, but I guess a better comparison is just to flip it for the NFL and make it about defense. He is kind of like a cornerback in that the safety or the linebacker is going to be the general of that defense. He's going to call out the plays. He's going to point out what to watch for. He's going to do those kind of things and call out assignments. Like, Avery Bradley is not that. He's just, like, shut him down.
Right.
What I'm trying to say here is that we need to call it Avery Island.
Okay.
Except that in the NBA, Avery Island quickly gets solved by big ship embargo pick and roll. So.
Right, or a glacier moving into the island.
Exactly. All right, man, that's 20 minutes on Celtics.
Yeah, so what do we give them, an F? They lost Doc Rivers, they lost KG, they lost Paul Pierce, Rondo's not back yet, they drafted Kelly Olynyk. There's just not a lot they did. They got Dante Green.
Yeah, I would give him an F just because Danny keeps trying to fake that he's not rebuilding. And it's like, just go with it. Just either go one way or the other. You know, you should have made a bigger effort to try and rebuild or sign somebody. Like, even like Monte Ellis, if you're going to go that route. I wouldn't agree with it, but at least you would be doing something.
Yeah.
Now it just feels like they're treading water.
Yeah, and I mean, you can have an F and still be – they can have an F of an offseason and still be set up to tank and do well next offseason.
Yeah, but I don't think they're set up perfectly to tank. I think there's a lot of danger in that they could be terrible, not terrible enough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess you have to hope for. It feels like we're talking about last year's Orlando Magic, like going into the season. Feels the exact same way that we talked about them.
Yeah,
and maybe they are good the first month, and maybe they fall apart right after that.
Yeah, and the Magic wound up getting number 2, so that would land them Jabari Parker, so that would work out okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, F.
F. Sorry, Celtics fans. There is always next year. I mean, not this next year, but the next year after that.
At least your name is stupid, the thought of wealth.
Sure. Thanks, Matt.